Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 9. John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 9, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. And so ends the Gospel of John, sadly. Are you a breakfast person? How important is breakfast to you? Well, let me just ask you, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? Did you eat breakfast? Did you have eggs, toast, bacon, coffee? Maybe you'd prefer pancakes and sausage, biscuits and gravy? Am I making you hungry yet? If you were to have breakfast with Jesus, he just might order fish. When was the last time you had fish for breakfast? Fish and bread. I think this is a beautiful scene on the shores of Galilee. A very familiar place for these fishermen. Surely Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And they've come back because it is home to them. And they've traveled 80 miles or so from Jerusalem, maybe even a bit more, in order to be back in a place that we understand Jesus had told them, go to Galilee before me, and I will meet you there. We've talked about that a little bit in our devotional last week. Why Galilee? Why this particular emphasis upon a city that is so on the outskirts of everything that is powerful? And in that you find the answer as well, don't you? Not only is the land somewhat an outcast, but so are its inhabitants. And yet it's mostly these men that Jesus has chosen to be his disciples and soon to become apostles. He has already breathed the Holy Ghost upon them. And he has said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And so the definition of an apostle is one who is sent. And they are soon going to be well involved in that commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature sent by Christ with his message of salvation. I have written out on the marquee, how would you answer Jesus' question, do you love me more than these? I want that to be our focus this morning, even though I've entitled my lesson Men's Breakfast. We have men's breakfast in order to have food and, of course, to have fellowship. The word breakfast actually means to break one's fast. You've gone all night without eating, and now it's time to break one's fast. Why the importance of breakfast? Well, that's where you get your energy. And it used to be, if you were a manual laborer, and perhaps you still fit that category, whether it be farm or field or ranch or cutting wood up in the mountains, if manual labor was your lot in life, then you needed the energy to sustain yourself through the morning up until the noon time repassed. Jesus understands that about men who work hard. And so they have just spent a fruitless, futile night up until the very last out on the Sea of Galilee doing what they know how to do, which is fishing with a net, and they fished all night and they caught no fishes. And yet when Jesus calls out to them, as we read last week, and tells them to throw their net on the other side, they draw in a large number of fish. And so we have this celebratory emotion going through the hearts and minds of these men. And yet Jesus knows that there is still a hunger in their bellies. And so as they come to the shore, what's the first thing he does? He meets them with the stability of the shore, certainly, but with a fire, warmth, and then what's sitting on the fire. They not only had the warmth of the fire, but the aroma of a meal ready to eat, of fish and bread. Sit down, relax, fill your belly, take a load off your feet and your heart. They say that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Is that what's happening here? Jesus meets their immediate need. But this breakfast is not going to be without its challenges. And in fact, it's going to have a very strong challenge specifically for Peter. You might ask, well, why is Peter singled out? Well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know upon whom the burden is going to fall to preach the first gospel sermon. Not that the other apostles aren't also preaching, because the cloven tongues of fire fall upon their heads as well. But it's Peter's sermon that we have a specific recording of. Peter is going to basically take the lead in the initial establishing of the gospel's promise and of the church. But there's something else going on here as well. Who was it that denied the Lord three times? We could be very close to the end of the 40 days that Jesus roams the earth and visits with his disciples. We know that this passage of John says this is the third time that he appeared to his disciples. But he's appeared to others as well. If you want to review that, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul lists even up to 500 brethren at one time that Jesus appeared to. But just saying that we are now close to the end of the 40 days, it's time to get to the point. And perhaps with Peter saying, let's go fishing, his heart is not quite focused as it should be. Men's breakfast, ladies' luncheons, fellowship meals. Yes, it's to fill our stomachs, but what else is it for? What is it about? It's not just about eating. It's about growing to know one another. And it's about focusing upon the relationship that we have, not just with each other, but also with the Lord. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It's a neat little song, isn't it? What's it reminding us of? That yes, we have fleshly hungers, literally, our appetite to eat. But there are other things that we need to satisfy as well. Greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Eagles had a song years ago that it was entitled, Love Will Keep Us Alive. Lost and lonely, now you've given me the will to survive. When we're hungry, love will keep us alive. Now, that's a little idealistic in the context of an earthly relationship, isn't it? When we're hungry, love will keep us alive. But it's not out of bounds when it comes to our spiritual relationship with God, because we are to place our love for Him above all other relationships and above all other physical appetites and needs. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So in reality, love will keep us alive when we're focused upon the Lord. But as Jesus has this breakfast prepared and the fish is ready to eat, He includes the disciples in this banquet and He says, why don't you bring some of the fish that you have just now caught? What's that a reminder of? Once they were in want, but now they have an abundance, but it's because not that they fished all night, but because they have the Savior in their company, that He is the one looking out for them. As we said last week in verse 5, even in the question that Jesus asked from the shore, there was an indictment. He says, children, you do not have any fish, do you? Implied in that is that they've gone on their own to satisfy their needs and they're coming up short. Oh, how true that is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We could sing that one too, but we're going to save a song for a little bit that actually comes from our book that you can join in with me. But Peter jumps up and he drags that net in. He was the one who dove into the water to go to the shore first. And he is still Mr. Impetuous, isn't he? So maybe Peter has just called attention to himself by his somewhat out of the ordinary actions. I think there's more to it than that. But Jesus turns to Peter, and in verse 15, He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What are the these? Honey, do you love me? Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? I can just visualize Jesus gesturing with his arms as he says, more than these. And perhaps it includes the ocean and the boat. Perhaps it's the fish that Peter has just drug shore, that net full of 153 large fish. It might even include the others around the fire, those other disciples. But more than these, do you love me more than these? Whatever it is, and I really think it includes everything, Jesus is saying to Peter, focus, Peter, who is most important to you? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And he might have said under his breath, and let that be the end of it. But Jesus isn't through, is he? Because after Peter says that, he says, then tend my lambs. And he asks them a second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. But then Jesus says it a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, tend my sheep. So he says, tend my sheep at the first and the last. In the middle, he said, shepherd my sheep. Is Jesus trying to change Peter's vocation from fisherman to shepherd? Most definitely, in the sense that he wants him to be the shepherd of the people of God, to bring the lost back into the fold. But there is something else going on here as well. There are four words in the Greek for love. There is agape, phileo, storge, and eros. And each of those words, by definition, are vastly different from one another. Phileo love is friendship. It's where you are good friends with someone else. And guess which word Peter uses every time? Phileo. He might as well have been saying to Jesus, we're best friends forever. You're my bud. You're my comrade in arms. Because every time that Jesus poses a question, Peter responds with, I phileo you. I'm your friend. And there's nothing wrong with being a friend, but Christ seeks more than that from us. Yes, Jesus is a friend next to you, but he is also our Lord and Master. And that's implied by the word that Jesus uses in the first two questions, agape. And agape love is the highest order of love. The definition of agape love, what Jesus was asking Peter, Peter, do you agape me, is doing what's best for another regardless of the cost or how you're treated in return. That's a sacrificial love. And it's an action love. It's not a feeling. If I love you in the way that God loves us, because this is the definition of God's love for us, I do what's best for you, even if it costs me dearly, and even if you don't appreciate it. Peter, do you love me enough, Jesus might have been saying, to die for me? And Peter says, oh yeah, bud. In the final question, Jesus relents. And in the Greek, he also uses the term phileo. He comes down, I think, to Peter's level. Peter, am I really your friend? And Peter says, oh, Lord, you know everything. Of course, you're my friend. The other two words, by the way, storge, for love in the Greek. Storge is family love, like what a father has for his son and a mother for her daughter, parents for their children, what you feel for your aunts and your uncles and your cousins. Storge, and I remember that one by thinking of a stork with a diaper in its beak and a little baby in the bundle. Storge. The final one is not in the Bible. It is in the Greek, but it's sexual love, eros, erotica. And that one is not found in the Bible, in the Greek. Agape, phileo, and storge. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What's Jesus doing for Peter and for us? He's reminding us. This men's breakfast certainly is for food and fellowship, but it is also for focus and encouragement, to show that those who are in want can find abundance, but only in the Lord. Turn with me to hymn number 404. We sometimes get sidetracked. No, we often get sidetracked. We sometimes focus back upon what's best. 404. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. We don't deserve Christ's love, do we? We need to be reminded. We are in this world for a purpose. Our Creator, our Father, has placed us here so that we might be His children, to come to know Him, to love Him, to honor Him, yes, to obey Him, to walk with Him. That's what God always intended for us, to give us only what is best. Regardless of the cost, it cost Him His life upon the cross. And even if we don't accept it, His mercy and love is still extended to us. Agape love. Doing what is best for another, regardless of the cost or how you're treated in return. At this men's breakfast, hunger has been satisfied. There's been good company and opportunity for reflection. Master, we are blessed. And in the process, there should be thanksgiving and devotion, devoted to spreading the message of God's love to all. I was reminded of another old song this week. It was entitled The Green Berets. Do you remember it? Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die. And the reason I was reminded of it, because a particular congressman was being interviewed, and he is the only Green Beret in Congress, Michael Walsh. And behind him, and they didn't say anything other than that he was the only Green Beret in Congress, behind him was a poster that had paratroopers coming down. And the very bottom line of the poster, there wasn't much written on it except Green Berets in this bottom line, was written in French. And I could make out that it had something to do with oppressed and libre. And so I listened a little closer to this song. And in the song, that line is used. Those who give freedom or liberty to the oppressed. The motto of the Green Beret. That's our Lord's motto, isn't it? To give liberty or freedom to those who are oppressed in sin. Now we're going to make a transfer. We're going to be transported from the shore of the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem shortly. We're going to go back to the south again, to the seat of power, the religious elite, the Roman government in the land of Palestine. What's going to happen in just 10 days from now, if they are at this particular moment at the end of John toward the very end of Jesus' 40 days on earth, the day of Pentecost, which means 50 days after the Passover. In less than 2 weeks from now, we're going to find those apostles filled with the Holy Spirit as in cloven tongues of fire upon their head. Peter, with them, standing up and preaching the first gospel sermon as recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. I would like to go into the book of Acts beginning next week. And so I encourage you to read the first chapter of the book of Acts for our lesson, and we'll stay in that chapter for at least a lesson or two. But I want us to see the reason Jesus is saying these things to Peter and to those other disciples, including John, who is standing there. Do you love me? Because the challenge is going to be, will you sacrifice all in order to accomplish the mission that you have given? Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die. Jesus had said in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, at the calling of those disciples, I will make you fishers of men, or you will be catching men from now on. They came to understand that, didn't they? Even the apostle come lately, Paul, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We give all so that we might save some. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Lord, I give my soul to you so that I may accomplish your will. Meaning, if it costs me my life, so be it. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. From a breakfast of fish and bread is a lesson for the ages and a question. How would you answer Jesus' question? Do you love me more than these?